Now, let me tell you this. When we had this idea, I had read some articles and read some books, and then I wrote to 50 missionaries, or emailed or wrote to them, and I picked them out of the handbook, and I took some young ones and some old ones, some with children, some without children, and I told them we were going to put together a presentation. And I said, in addition to prayer, which I know is the most important, what are the two things you wish the folks back home would do for you when you're on the field, when you're home with your assembly, or for your children? So some of what we have here is a compilation of a lot of these responses that came back directly from the field. And as we look at this thing, the four most important gifts you can give to missionaries and their families. First of all, of course, there is the gift of constant prayer. And that is so important, is it not? There's the gift of unsolicited and practical support. Larry just talked about that, which is so critical as well. There's the gift of caring, and he talked about that, the gift of caring. And then the gift of practical helps. And this is so important as we think of those that are out on the field, and you are the link back home with those folks that are out on the field. Now let's talk about this, the gift of constant prayer. We read in James 5 and 16, of course, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. And I will tell you, if you're trying to keep up with me here, the good news is I have some handouts, and if you want all of these ideas, they're up in the front here, and you're welcome to take them. If we run out, just give me your name, and I'll email them to you, okay? Ephesians 6 and 18 reminds us, pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. And of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 reminds us to pray without ceasing. Now, the gift of unsolicited and practical support. Here's what we hear in Corinthians. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Acts 11:29 reminds us, so the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could. So once again, we find this fellowship, as we heard about just a little while ago. And then, of course, there is this gift of caring, a very important gift, but that members should have the same care for one another. It is so important that you care for the missionaries. At CMML, we get about 400 letters and emails a month that the directors read to try to keep up with what's going on out in the field. And it's amazing, some of the things that are happening there. And then some of that is put into Missions Magazine, and we do hope you get Missions Magazine. It's free. If you don't, stop by the book table and give them your address, and we will be more than happy to send it to you each month. And then we read, of course, in 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. So you see, there are things that you can do at home that can be of great help to those that are serving the Lord on a foreign field. Now, the gift of practical helps. I'm going to give you 82 ideas to demonstrate how much you care. We don't have much time, so we're going to go quick. I'm going to give you 39 ideas to help and encourage missionaries on the field. I'm going to give you 23 ways to make a missionary's furlough become a memorable experience. 5 ideas missionaries' children will love and remember. 14 ideas to help your local assembly get involved. And the final idea that I guarantee will make a difference today, Saturday afternoon, April 3rd. That's a guarantee. That'll be the last idea that I give you. Now, as far as how we do this, okay? While on the field, and I told you these were going to be very practical ideas, okay? You might send audio tapes of special messages or speakers at your assembly. Remember that the missionaries are out there, they're giving out the word all the time. And so these tapes from home or tapes from a conference sometimes sent to a missionary is a wonderful encouragement to them because it builds them up. They are able to sit and listen to the word being taught. You might send the assembly bulletin regularly to keep them up on the news. If you have a missionary commended from your assembly or that is very familiar with your assembly, why send them that bulletin each month? Maybe just make up a set of labels and someone could take on that task and just put it in the mail with a little note each month to that missionary. You might just ask what videotape they would like to see and send it, or you might send them one that you've enjoyed. Do check one thing, though. In overseas countries, sometimes your VHS will not play over there. You need what's called the PAL format. So don't go to a lot of trouble sending a wonderful videotape that you love, and you build it up, and you send it, and they can't show it, okay? You need to check with them to see what format. Chances are they may have brought a video player from home. But you'll find that that would be a great idea, and they would enjoy getting that from you. Send good Christian videos for use in their ministry. By that, we're talking about Christian videos, those that they might be able to use personally within their family, or if they're teaching a Sunday school class, or if they're holding meetings, something that might be of help to them to get the gospel out. Now, overseas postage, as you may or may not know, is very, very expensive. And one thing that you might do for a missionary is send them some U.S. postage stamps. Now, you might say, why would I send U.S. stamps? They can't use them over there. But if they have someone coming back to the United States, they can post the letters, give them to the person coming back. When they get off at the airport, they drop them in the mailbox, and they're on the way. Or they might write a bunch of letters, address them, put stamps on them, and send them in a packet. Mail one packet to you, and then you would, in turn, put all of those in the mail for them. But we still do have the cheapest postage around, believe it or not. Send Christmas presents overseas at least 6 to 8 weeks in advance. Missionaries, and especially the children, love to receive gifts. Now, don't do what I did, okay? I thought this was a great idea, and I let it slide, and I went and we're sending to two families. One family was in Yaroslavl, Russia. The other was in Palencia, Spain. And, of course, I lost sight of time, and I packed up these boxes, and I went to the post office, and I had missed what would be the ship route to get there. And I had also missed the second route, whatever that was. And so what it boiled down to was express mail was the only way to do this. Yeah, you're right. And so I had them all packed. What could I do? So they weighed them up, and one package was $42. And one package was 30-something. I let it go. And the postman said that, it'll get to Yaroslavl in about 10 days and to Russia, to Spain in about 6 days. Okay. So they're gone. The families, I talked to both of them on New Year's Day. And the folks in Russia, they said, we got the package. It was wonderful, blah, blah, blah. And we had a great talk. Then I talked to the folks in Spain, and we talked for quite a while. They never mentioned the package. And I said, did you get the package from the assembly? And they said, what package? I said, I sent you this box. It was all wrapped up. No, it never came. So he went to his post office, and they said nothing had ever come in there. And we're emailing back and forth. And I went to my post office. And, of course, you can check Express Mail. So I called the 800 number, and they said yes. That package was delivered in Madrid, Spain, and it was 2 days after I had mailed it, and they had the exact time. And I said, it was going to Palencia. It was going to Madrid, and then to Palencia. It was delivered to Madrid. And I said, that's great, but that's not Palencia. We'll check it for you. I said, how long will that take? They said, 30 days. This is a true story. So 30 days later, I'm in touch with the missionary. They've received nothing. The postmaster has received nothing. I call the post office again. Yes, it was delivered to Madrid at 12:01 p.m. on such and such a date. I said, I know that, but you're checking it for me. It went to Madrid. I said, here we go again. So I said, okay, we'll check it for you. How long does it take? 30 days. 60 days from the day I mailed that package, it was back on my doorstep. There was all kinds of Spanish markings. So I went to the postmaster, and I said, look. He says, I remember the package. It came back here. We had to translate what it said. I said, it didn't get to Palencia. And he said, it got to Madrid. So we went through this again. The long and the short of it is, the postmaster extended his apologies and said there was nothing they can do, and if I wanted to send it again, I could send it again. So I did send it again, but by the regular way for about $10, and it arrived. So just be careful. Leave yourself plenty of time, but that's a true story that really happened, and it wasn't funny at the time, but it's funny now, you know? Use Global Priority Mail for the smaller packages. It's less expensive, and it's quite easy to do. And, you know, I'll tell you one use for Global Priority Mail. I had Gil Vargas in my home one time, and I was telling him about this, and in Spain, it's tough to get decent peanut butter. And he says, how do you send peanut butter? I said, I send it in a jar. Oh, no. He says, you take the peanut butter, and you take it out of the jar, and you put it in a Ziploc bag, and then you triple Ziploc bag, and then you put it in a Global Priority Mail envelope, and it flattens, and we'll have it in 4 days. I told you, these are practical ideas that you folks can do. When you're sending equipment overseas to a missionary, market accessories or something. Don't market computer or scanner or new whatever, because chances are it won't reach the missionary. And also, this is an interesting idea. If you're shipping equipment and it happens to be new or you have the box for it, open the manufacturer's box, reverse the box, re-glue it back together, retape it back together, and then reseal it so none of the lettering shows. So you have the original packaging, it's well packed, and it goes out overseas, and nobody really knows what's in it. Another important thing is to keep your missionary up to date on the latest computer hardware, software, and the best prices. This may not seem like much, but many of the folks on the field today are younger than some of us, and they live by the computer. They enjoy the computer. That's their lifeline. And they want to know about software and all of these things that can be helpful while they're on the field. So keep them abreast of that. You might even write to them and ask them what software they might be able to use. Especially in Carter or World Book, which you can buy very, very inexpensively, especially if it's a year old. And it's great for missionaries' kids. And of course, if you do that, if you send this software, open up the package, pop it into your computer, and use it once. Why? Because then it becomes used software. And then you can repack it and send it. Don't even send the original box. And you just mark the postal thing used software. Then it's not a new piece of equipment that they would necessarily have to pay duty on. Ladies, cheery tablecloths and napkins for use at birthdays and holidays. How many times do you, your grandchildren, your own children, they love all of this stuff. Missionaries don't get that for the kids. What if you sent them a box with some of these things in so that they could have a little birthday party for their children? Sometimes it's nice to offer to provide a missionary with a magazine subscription. It's sometimes a news magazine or something to keep them abreast of what's going on. You might just ask them what they would enjoy, and sometimes these subscriptions can be mailed directly by the publisher if you make arrangements to pay for it, or you get it yourself and you gang them up, you know, 3 or 4 or 6 copies, and you send it over in bulk. You might also send a good book that you enjoyed. You know, missionaries sometimes have trouble getting books in English when they're overseas, and they might just enjoy something that you've already read and that you can recommend to them. Write or email and ask them for specific prayer requests. First of all, you'll knock them off their seat if you, out of the blue, write to them and say, we're having our midweek meeting. I need 2 or 3 prayer requests if you'd like us to pray for you, and I need them by Wednesday morning. And in most cases, you'll get them if they've checked their email, and they'll be excited to know that you all are going to pray for their specific requests. Keep missionaries up to date on what's happening in the home assembly. They really are interested, and they do want to hear from you. But of course, keep your emails brief, of course. Sometimes when I travel, I just carry some little note cards with me, and I'll write something and then perhaps mail it at the other end when I get there. Visit a missionary on the field. They really love to have visitors. Of course, it's a good idea to plan this in advance. Just don't show up and say, well, here we are, we're going to stay for a week. It's much better if they know that you're coming and can make the arrangements. And if you're visiting the field, And if you are a capable speaker, it might be nice to offer to preach at one of their services if they can use you, a gospel message, a message of encouragement, and it would give the missionary a little break as well. You might also plan a group trip to help missionaries with specific projects. These trips take a lot of planning. The chemistry has to be right with the folks that are going together, but it's a great idea. We were in the UK last week, and we heard about the gospel literature outreach and the brass tacks and all of these assembly organizations that go in to do projects for missionaries and then come out, and how many young people are involved in these things for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and what a great help it is to those on the mission field. Games and sports equipment are always nice surprises overseas. Many of the sports we have here, they don't know about or don't play overseas. And when you send some of this equipment over, it gives the missionary kids a chance to teach the national kids a new sport, and also gives opportunity then to make friendship with these other people. Sometimes used and new tools and equipment are very helpful, depending on where the missionary is based. There's one missionary that told me that his tools are his lifeline to reaching the local community. They always come to him to borrow a tool, and he has opportunities to talk to them. And, of course, don't only think about this as far as sending it, but check, to make sure there are tools that they could use if you did send them. And, of course, also remember, kitchen utensils for women are also tools that could be sent. Many times clothing and food are very welcome. But you do want to research the country and speak with the missionary to decide what to send. Now, I found out, and you women will know what this is, some of these things are better than me, but chocolate chip morsels are very important. Brown sugar, you can't get someplace. Vanilla extract, apparently you can't get. Cake mixes, I already mentioned peanut butter. Baking powder was mentioned to me. And then, of course, if you do send a package, pray as you plan the package and ask the Lord to direct what you should send. And then, of course, pray for the package as it's on the way. But don't be afraid to ask a missionary what they can use. First of all, they'll be surprised that you asked, and they'll be delighted that you asked it. And I really don't think they'll take advantage of you. I don't think they'll say a 36-inch Sony television. I think they'll be much more practical, and they will really appreciate your help. Sometimes the women enjoy women's magazines like Good Housekeeping or Better Homes and Gardens, and some children's magazines that are geared for children. Send encouraging email, but don't, and I repeat, don't send your whole email distribution list at the top. There are ways to knock that out, as you know. And the thing is, you get emails sometimes in the first page and a half, and we get them at CMML too. The first page and a half are addresses. Everybody's address that we don't want is there before we get to what the missionary is saying. Try not to do that when you send it overseas, because in some countries it is very expensive to download email, especially in some of the African countries where they're working on a satellite phone and they're paying sometimes $1 to $3 a minute to download. So you do want to be very careful when you send things over. You might offer to print and mail the missionaries letters for them here at home. A big help. They could email them to you, and you can print them and mail them on this end, saving them time. And probably many of them would be willing to provide you with the postage if you were willing to do that. Now, admittedly, today, many of the missionaries send their emails out, and that's just terrific. But there are some that don't have computers and do prefer to get a letter in the mail. So you might just offer to help a missionary in this way. Send care packages with practical things. Medicines, rubbing alcohol, syrup, candy bars, books, CDs. But again, contact the missionary to be sure that you don't, that they don't incur a lot of duty charges. But many of these care packages can really make a difference. Someone even told me WD-40 is a great thing for the mission field, a small can of WD-40. So just bear that in mind. Help a missionary build his own library on the field, and they may appreciate books that help them in their studies. Maybe in your own library at home you have some Christian books or study guides that you've read and you have no need for. You might contact a missionary and just see whether they could use them in their field of service. This is an important one here. Send blank greeting cards in English for birthdays, get well, etc. The reason is that sometimes missionaries want to remember people back home, but they can't get cards in English overseas. This was a surprise to me when some of the missionaries mentioned this. So do send the blank greeting cards. And, you know, buy new ones. Don't white out, you know, the ones you've gotten. You know, some of you are doing that, I can tell. You can go to the 99-cent stores and some of the places after Christmas, you know, and buy Christmas cards and so forth. And you can buy them pretty inexpensively. You might place a personal phone call to a missionary. This is always appreciated. And, of course, long-distance rates are quite low now based on the TV advertising that you hear. And there's also a website that I've discovered called callingcards.com. And that is not in my handout, but callingcards.com, where you can go online and you tell them where you want to call from and where you want to call to. And they'll suggest a half a dozen cards that you can call. They'll give you all the rates and all the requirements, and you can order the key numbers or the PIN numbers online. And you charge it to a credit card. For example, you can call overseas to some countries for 3 cents a minute. So that's another thing that you might do. You might find out what special foods missionaries miss and can't get and send it to them. I mentioned the peanut butter, and we had one missionary family that we knew of. We used to call their son Mr. Ritz because he loved Ritz crackers and peanut butter. So we would put together occasionally a package with that in it. That was all that was in it. But he was just delighted when he got it. We found out one missionary's kid that loves root beer. Well, we weren't going to send root beer overseas, but when they came home, we made sure they had plenty of root beer in their refrigerator. It was a real treat. I mentioned before that email downloads in foreign countries are very, very expensive, and you do really need to be very careful. I'll just give you one example. There was a missionary that we knew, and he was in Uzbekistan, believe it or not. And this is true. And when he went over, he was an eye doctor, and he had an older computer with like a 96 baud modem. Those of you that are into computers know that's not very fast. And some elderly gentleman sent him an email. And he used to get up at 5:30, and he'd turn on his computer, and he'd just start his email downloads, and he'd brush his teeth and everything, get ready to go over to the hospital. And when he did all this, the email was still downloading, so he went to work. And when he came back after work, there was a note from his email provider over in the foreign country saying, "You owe us $56. That was for that download. And then to boot, he couldn't open the attachment. So when he came back to the States, he looked up the brother. He was going to look up the brother out in the Southwest that had sent it to him, the elderly man. And the elderly man had gone home to be with the Lord. So he never knew what was in the email. He just knew it was very expensive to get something he couldn't read. So just bear these things in mind. They're very real problems sometimes. Send birthday cards to missionaries and their children. It really does mean a lot. And, of course, in the Missionary Prayer Handbook, you can find the addresses of the missionaries and their children. And, of course, the biggest thing, remind the missionaries often that you're praying for them. It really does make a very big difference in their lives. Certain areas of the world, of course, require great care when you're contacting the missionaries. You need to be careful that you don't compromise their safety. And this is extremely important in light of the many things that are happening now, especially in some of the Muslim countries. For example, don't write about missions or politics or evangelism or financial support or missionaries and believers or elders or pastors or deacons or make any negative comments about governments, because in many of these countries, their emails are intercepted and read before they get them. So be very careful. Use code words. Just use code words. Figure out another name to call your chapel, you know. Sometimes you could just say, "Our Father said this," and they'll know you mean the Lord. It's just, these are things that are very important that can sometimes get a missionary in a lot of trouble if you're not careful. Now, all email, that's wonderful, but snail mail is also important. Remember, it's a personal touch, and the problem is we get so much mail at home. Our mailboxes are filled with letters and advertisements. But over in the foreign countries, that is not necessarily the case. And a letter from home sometimes makes all the difference in the world. And someone told me that they knew a person that sent a letter every so often to a missionary family, and you pay, now the rate is 80 cents per ounce for most countries. So this brother would weigh the letter that he had written, and in order to not waste the 80 cents, he'd put one or two or three sticks of gum in there to make the ounce. And so the children had gum when the letter arrived. The single biggest hindrance to letter writing is waiting for that big block of time. But don't wait, because that block of time will never come. Just take a few minutes, maybe when you're having your coffee or tea in the morning, and say, I'm going to drop a note to somebody and see if I can be of help to them and give them a little bit of encouragement. Now let's switch to home. What can we do when the missionary is home on furlough? First of all, allow them some time to get back in the groove. Re-entry is a culture shock in a lot of cases, especially if they've been on the field for a while, and they come back and they see everything they have that we have here. I was in the UK last week, and it was culture shock to see people driving on the other end of the road. You know, they have the streets marked, look right when you're going to step off the curb so that you don't get hit. Well, imagine a missionary that's been on a field for some years and they come back here. So give them a little bit of time to get used to things. And when they come back, if it's at all possible, provide them with meals. Let the chapel ladies sign up and provide them for meals. Send it to the house, wherever they're living, to get them adjusted here, because they're not going to be in a position to start cooking the day they arrive home. And, of course, this is nice. If you happen to have a summer place or a vacation place, you might let a missionary family use it on a weekend or while they're here on furlough. It's a great idea. Or you might be in a position where the Lord has blessed you, and you might even be able to provide them with a mini vacation at a hotel or a resort for a weekend. A really big idea for missionaries, because they are always giving out, and then they need a little time for themselves. You might pay for missionary kids to go to a Christian camp. This is a big deal for those kids, and it's a great way for those kids to make new friends. You might research the best local long-distance rates. When a missionary comes home, they're not familiar with all of this. And if they're going to be home for a while, wouldn't it be nice if you could say, here's a piece of paper, these are all the special deals out. When you get your phone service, you can decide what's best for you. And they don't have to research it. Or if a missionary is going to come home and be traveling a lot, you might research the best cell phone deals for them, now that they all have these nationwide long-distance programs, and they might be very beneficial and very cheap for what the missionary is going to do. You might offer to keep a missionary's children for an evening so mom and dad can have a night out together. Very important deal. Take care of those kids. And treat the missionaries and their kids like regular people. You know, missionaries are regular people. They're not on a pedestal. The only difference between a missionary and you is the fact that they're serving the Lord overseas and you're serving the Lord here in America. That's the only difference. And many people are afraid to have a missionary in their home because they think they're going to bring out the slides and there's going to be a three-hour presentation showing all the Sunday school classes. That is not what happens. Missionaries are as interested in you as you are in them, and you'll find they're very real people, and they indeed are not weird in any sense of the imagination. I was doing a presentation one time at a little missionary supper, and there was 80 people there. And I didn't know it, but when I got there, they had a potluck supper, and the first two rows were all young kids, and I had no idea the young kids were going to be there. And so when I got up, I said, missionaries are weird people, aren't they? And I could see the adults like you folks starting to squirm a little bit. What is he? He's from CMML? What do you mean missionaries are weird? I said, missionaries are weird people. And then the children are looking at me, and the moms and dads are concerned for me. And finally, I said, did anybody ever meet a real live missionary? And one little boy put his hand up. He said, I did. I said, weren't they weird? He says, no. I said, that's right, they weren't weird. Missionaries are not weird people. They would love to get to know you. And I have to tell you, if you get to know a missionary and then you see their face in the missionary prayer handbook, it makes a big difference as you're praying for them. When the missionary family arrives at the airport, do your best to meet them. If you can, if it's at all possible, either individually or with a group. And you might try to have transportation available for them if they're going to be home for a while. Maybe you have a vehicle you could lend them, or the assembly has a vehicle that they can use while they're at home. A gas credit card is a nice thing if you can afford it. Let a missionary use your gas credit card for a while. If they need to purchase a vehicle, help them to shop for the best deal. Because remember, they don't even know where to start. And thankfully, there are a number of Christian dealerships that are anxious to help our assembly missionaries. And we're thankful for that. And you might just put them in touch with someone like that. Offer to try to find them a place to live if they're going to be home for a while on furlough. If they're going to be in your area, do some research for them. CMML, of course, is available, but that's really only available for up to a month or so. It's not available for someone to come back and live there for a year or something like that, but it is available to them. And when they get set up, remember all the things that you need to operate a household, and maybe there's some things that you can give them or lend them to use while they're home, whether it be appliances or toys or a computer or a TV or sheets and linens, all of these things, just to get them going. And you can say these are on loan, or you can say you can have these. Of course, if they come through CMML, why, they can stock up in the clothing center and take whatever they need for their family. And be sure to invite the missionaries to the social times that you have at your assembly. Don't only ask them to come and preach, because they do need that fellowship together with other believers, okay? When a missionary wife is asked to speak at a ladies' conference, offer to look after her children, because that will be the biggest concern she has before she's able to say yes, who will take care of the kids. And that's something that you can do, and it's something that would really be appreciated, I can assure you. And when a missionary returns home, give him or her the opportunity to get involved in the local assembly. The elders can sit down with them and decide where they might be able to serve if they're going to be here for a bit of time and be of help around the local assembly. When the missionaries are in your home, and remember, they're not weird people, when they're in your home, ask about their work and then learn from them. Ask how you can pray for them. What are the things that they need? And they'll want to know about you as well. And when they return home, be sure to introduce them to new folks at the assembly. Or maybe you have them over to your house with a meal, and if there's new folks in the assembly, have them come over at the same time so that they can meet the missionary that you've been talking about. This is important for both the missionary and the new folks. A ladies' tea is a great way for you ladies to interact with a returning missionary mom. The kids can come, they can be off playing somewhere, and the moms can be talking. Sounds simple, but many times they come back and they need to visit a doctor and a dentist. And you know, as I do, sometimes when you're setting up an appointment with a doctor, you know, it's 6 weeks before you can get an appointment. If you know they're coming, you might contact them. And if they need either medical or dental work, you might offer to try to find a dentist or a doctor and get an appointment set up for them while they're at home. Larry mentioned the photos at the Hollywood Assembly that are on the wall of the missionaries. And missionary photos on a bulletin board is a real reminder to pray for them. Helping the children. Take a special interest in missionaries' children when they're home. Take them to special attractions. Maybe you can take them to a ball game or the circus or to a park or a swimming time or something. But take them with you so that those kids can get involved. They feel a little out of place when they first get here. So get them back involved. Include the missionaries' children in the young people's activities at the chapel. Sometimes they're forgotten about. And all the kids are active, and the missionaries' kids, they don't know how to fit in because they're from a different culture. Take time to talk to the missionaries' children. They often feel excluded at the meetings. I'll give you one personal example. There was a missionary family came back, and the brother was speaking at our assembly in New Jersey in the midweek service. And so my wife was down at CMML working, and the missionary was staying there. So he was following my wife up the parkway, and we were going to have supper at a diner, and then this brother was going to speak. And he brought two of his children with him. So the young boy, who was about 13 or 12 at the time, said to my wife, "Mrs. Turner, can I ride up with you?" I think he liked the car, but he talked with her all the way up. And then when we got to the diner, we got to talking, and they ordered root beer. This is the root beer story. And I said, do you like root beer? We love root beer. Can you get it where you... No, we can't get it where we live. So anyway, now we're going to our chapel. So now the young fellow says, Mr. Turner, could I ride with you in your truck? I said, sure. He wanted to see the truck. He talked the whole way to the chapel. I didn't have to say a word. When we sat down, my wife and I sat down in the pew, he came and he said, do you mind if I sit with you? And he sat between my wife and I like he was our kid. It was fine. As his father got up to speak, he turns in the scriptures and he taps me on the shoulder and he goes, I said, what's that? That's where my father's going to speak from. Sure enough, 5 minutes into the message, what's that? That's where he's going to next. 13 years old, he memorized the message. It's important to take time to talk to missionaries' kids. And you know, it's a real thrill because this family, after a number of years, was back at CMML this week and I saw the fella. And we've become really great friends. And when he went back to CMML, when my wife went back the next week, we found 6 2-liter bottles of root beer and sent them down for their refrigerator down there, and you would have thought we sent gold. These are little things that make such a difference in a kid's life. If you have a boat or a camper or a swimming pool, invite them to go along and take a lot of photos and give them the photos to take back and show to their kids and their friends on the field. One of the best things that you can do for a missionary is to love their children. And love can be shown in so many different ways. The best thing, show love to the children. And that was an idea that came loud and clear as these missionaries got back to us. Now, at the assembly, you might undertake projects, and maybe you do this here, to send to missionaries, dolls, blankets, baby outfits, crafts, or whatever. You might be involved in some of these things, and many of the missionaries can use these in their outreach. You might have a midweek supper for your assembly and invite missionaries to attend and report or read current emails. This is done up in New Jersey at Kenilworth for years and years. Once a month, they have the Kenilworth Missionary Prayer Meeting. Some of you have been there. And it starts out with a supper, a very simple supper, from 6:30 to 7:30. At 7:30 until 9 o'clock, the first half hour is taken up with reading missionary prayer letters and prayer requests. The second half hour has the brethren praying for the request. The third half hour, if there's missionaries in the area, they give a report on their work, and it's over at 9 o'clock. And it's a very encouraging time to hear what is happening with the missionaries. Of course, the elders should be in contact with the missionaries by mail and email and telephone. It shows interest, and it reminds the missionaries that they are accountable to the commending assembly, and they indeed are, if this isn't a commending assembly. You might ask your elders to share communications from missionaries. It's funny, some assemblies don't. And yet missionaries are writing. So try to get a handle on what the missionaries are writing so that you are able to pray effectively for them. Arrange in advance to phone a missionary. A live report for during the prayer meeting would be a great idea. Of course, you have to be sure your speaker phone works. You have to realize that there might be 6 or 10 hours difference. So they may be at 3 o'clock in the morning for them. But you know what? I think if they had the opportunity to talk to your assembly, and you had the opportunity to talk to them, I think they would be willing to stay up that one night just to have that opportunity. Something that has to be set up in advance, but a neat idea that some of the missionaries shared with us. And, of course, when a missionary that is commended comes home, they, of course, should meet, and the elders should make it a point to meet with them and just to be able to pick up on problems, because missionaries have problems the same way as we do. They're not perfect. They have a tough time out there. And they need our prayers. And sometimes they don't have anybody to talk to out there to on a one-on-one basis. Yes, they talk to the Lord, but I'm talking about a peer that can help them. If the missionary is visiting your assembly, if possible, it might be nice to give them the option to stay at a hotel or a motel at the assembly's expense or in the home of one of the believers. Now, I say that because sometimes a missionary, you know, if they're kind of going around speaking, they always have to be up. They never get a chance to sit down and put their feet up and not have to talk to anyone. So if you put them into the Comfort Inn, for example, overnight, they might appreciate that. Some missionaries don't like that. They prefer to be in a home. Others might just welcome the opportunity. And also, you know, if they're speaking 5 nights a week and getting a big meal every night, sometimes they don't want that big meal. There was one missionary that told me the story, who shall be nameless, and this missionary hated, I think it was spaghetti and meatballs, if I recall correctly. And so it was served to him this one night. And so the ladies fixed his portion, which he finished to get rid of it, and of course she gave him some more. And so what happened was, the word got out that so-and-so loves spaghetti and meatballs. You know what happened, the five nights of that meeting, he had spaghetti and meatballs at every house. So you need to be sensitive to these things with the missionaries as well. But at the assembly, prayerfully consider serving as a sender, because you are senders. You can provide moral support, just being there for them. Logistics support, handling the details here at home when they're coming back or to help them when they're overseas. The financial support with the practical helps that they need. The communication support, we talked about the letters and emails and different things and different ways that you can help them. Reentry support to help them just feel at home when they get home and have a time to adjust to the new culture and get settled. And prayer support, which is spiritual warfare at its best. Prayer is the arena of spiritual warfare. It's where the action is, supporting and sustaining those on the fields of the world. Remember that. It's the arena of spiritual warfare. And one of the strongest weapons to bind the work of the enemy is the intercessory, effectual, fervent prayer of a committed, united team of believers. Believers that are here today at a missionary conference because they are interested in missions. Those who go and those who serve as senders are equally important to the work of the Lord. Don't ever lose sight of that. You are equally important, as we've heard already today, to the work of the Lord. And I said I was going to give you one idea at the end that could make a difference tonight. And that idea is, I would like to get 15 people to write to a missionary. You can get the address out of the prayer handbook. Maybe it should be a missionary you don't already know. At great expense, because I'm a Scotsman, I bought 15 of these 70-cent aerograms, okay? And I would like to give you one if you'd be willing to write to a missionary. Now, don't just take it and tuck it in the drawer, but if there's 15 of you that would be willing to write a letter to a missionary and make a difference tonight, those 15 are up there along with the handouts. So I encourage you to maybe pick one up if you're willing to do that, and that would just be a wonderful thing. Thank you very much. We appreciate your patience here, and we did get through the 82 ideas. Thanks a lot.